Check my inbox and what do I see? Just another day, another T-R-A-D-E. I'm an addict, and I need it in my veins. I'm an addict, otherwise I feel plain now. Every day I wake up, people got a problem. Making all these trades up, got me singing got them. But I've been paid up, I even started from the bottom. See, I don't wait up, I ain't even playing possum. So what it cost, I'm just a couple of firsts. Can't believe that it worked, not to say I'm a jerk. But I'm an addict, it's what I said in the first. You can curse all you want, you can pray in your church. But I'ma keep tapping return, I win up, I learn. I ain't trying to burn any bridges, I yearn. For the feeling I earn, I'ma win, it's a turn. The other cheek before I drop you like the beat. I'm an addict, and I'm not really ashamed. I'm an addict, I'm reclining with the brain. I'm an addict, and the pot is what I'm playing. I'm an addict,
Russ and Rocky.
Other names, Trade Addicts Pod. Let's go.
I am Frank in the chat, and I have a trading problem.
I am Kendall Vanderbilt. I definitely have a trading problem.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to session 370 of the Trade Addicts Podcast, where even though the network went away, the dap is always here to stay. So drop a dap if you're with us in the chat or the comments. We appreciate all of you. And today we have a new friend of the show, as I put in my tweet today. We have Kendall. Kendall, thanks for coming on tonight. How are you doing?
I'm doing awesome, man. It's been a good day, and it's only getting better now that I'm hanging out with you, man.
Awesome. Well, before we get into the interview, why don't you tell everyone who you are, what you do, and where they can find what you do?
Yeah. So, Kendall Vanderbilt, most of the handles are, Kendall FFT or TFFT. That the Fantasy Football Tavern is my little pocket channel I've been, working on for a little bit. But most folks know me as, one of the, owners members of the Get Right Fantasy Network. That's where my focus is at lately, doing our Friday night mocks on Friday and, building up our Discord of a bunch of other folks with serious trading problems as our little support group over there. So having a blast.
I like it. More people, the better. So how long have you been playing fantasy for?
So I got into it in high school, I want to say. So I was about 20 years ago. I was pretty analytically. I was definitely, math, physics, all that kind of a thing. So yeah. I was bad at the football part of it. But I liked the idea of
but
it.
But good at the fantasy part.
Chess, poker, fantasy was all kind of game theory stuff, right? So enjoyed it. I wasn't super good or anything, and I wasn't the competitive psycho that I am today. But about 20 years I've been playing. I'd say the last 5 to 6 or 7 have been on that serious higher amount of my income than anyone's, prepared to admit, really grinding the best ball streets till 2 a.m. Yep. that kind of degen for a while.
Yep. And then, so you're a best ball bro. And then how long have you been playing Dynasty?
Dynasty, about the same. I say when I got into Dynasty, I think that's when I fell in love with fantasy football, like all over again in a new way. And I remember the first off season doing like a trade every other day, just watching the news cycle. It felt like a format was perfect for me. Completely fell in love with it. And I've been a dynasty, just a complete degenerate ever since. I'd say I'm probably a dynasty player first among all my formats.
Yeah, I like that. That the dynasty kind of did the same for me too. I got kind of sick of redraft, and as of today, I think I only have like one redraft league, and I'm probably leaving it any day now. So. Dynasty's just better nowadays. So in your dynasty journeys, what's the best, one of the best trades you've made?
Let's see. Well, it's interesting, 'cause I did a lot of trades, but I want to say they were a lot of really neutral. They had an outcome, but they weren't really spicy, right? They were like the team need trades that don't feel good or bad. It was, the first trade that I feel bad for was I didn't have quarterbacks and I bought Derek Carr, which I don't think has ever been a good trade in maybe the history of fantasy. I don't think I'd have to look back at that.
Like one thing it's ever been good.
Yeah. Which still probably wasn't a good fantasy season in all honesty. So that's definitely the bad with some recent bad ones. The one that sticks forever for me, and he's a good trade partner of mine, but I flipped Gibbs away. It was a Gibbs and DJ Moore. I was trying to buy T on the cheap, and I got T and Kenneth Walker back. And this was right before we were still kind of like, is Gibbs going to get like a decent snap share one day? And like the next week it was over. And I've not forgiven myself since.
Yeah, that's It's always hard with the running backs, especially. I feel like that's where a lot of the worst trades happen, or overpaying for a quarterback in Superflex. Like, my answer to this question is I traded 23 first for Zach Wilson when 23 firsts were hot in the streets. So,
bonfire.
Yeah, it's not great. What's a guiding principle you have in trading?
So, well, actually, I listened to the show last week, and this kind of dovetails pretty nicely with what Ryan McDowell was laying down, because I could not agree with his take more, and I definitely embody that a little bit. But along with his just be active, just be out there talking with folks, you're going to catch a lot more flies with honey than with vinegar. And that starts day zero in any league, I think. You know, your whole idea is you're very opinionated, and so is your trade partner. If you're in a fun, competitive league, I hope they are, right?
Yeah.
And so, look, instead of defending your point with the well-researched material that you know is correct and you know they're just not listening to, and then poking some holes in their rather iffy logic, right? Put down the swords, put down the shields, grab some memes and beers, all right? Yeah. Have a good time, all right? If you're the guy that's not being too antagonistic, you're the first guy someone wants to throw a trade idea out to. That can become a lot of other things, you know? How many trades start as one thing, and then five or six chats later on, we're talking about a whole different position, right? You might even hear what they're trying to buy, you know, throughout the rest of the league, and It's just the way to be. So, you know, be funny, be friendly. Don't break apart their trade. If you're going to break apart their trade, do it with humor. Then there's a way to do that, right?
Right.
Prop up your trade with humor, tear theirs down with humor, and be the guy people want to do business with.
Right. No, I like that. I think there's too many times where there will be fights over like the 210 versus the 301, and people like lose trades for that. Like, who cares? Like, That's one of my things is like, you're not going to win every trade by a landslide. Like, some of these are just even trades, and some of them are just, you're going to miss out on a third. And like, you can't be afraid to do that. Like, that's my guiding principle in all of this, is never be afraid to be wrong. And I say that as the guy who said, well, Levis was going to be a top 12 QB in 2024. So that was wrong. But like, it doesn't matter. And like, I think having more productive trade conversations stems from just like having good ones, not like arguing over like those little nuanced details. So yeah, no, I think that's a really good point.
And you won't have to argue over that third. If you're the nice guy,
right?
They're just going to let you have it sometimes.
Agreed.
Right. You know, you won't even have to ask for it. And that'll add up in the long run for sure.
Right. Okay. Moving on to the news. We'll start with our question of the week. Kendall, do you believe in the revenge game narrative, and does it affect your view of players? And I think you'll understand why we're talking about this.
Yeah, a little bit. My background might have given that away a little bit, maybe.
Yeah.
A couple things there. Rocky, how we doing here? I'll answer
Rocky Petrella, and I was showing up on time problem. I'm sorry, continue, Kendall.
No, cheers, man. I was going to say, hey, someone steps in the room, you got to greet them. I'll be real quick. I do believe in it. I buy into it, but within reason, right? Yep. If I had to throw a one liner to kind of keep, it's a tiebreaker, not a tier breaker. And it's going to affect my DFS props for the most part, my player props on the bets, much more than it's going to affect a flex decision for the most part. And specifically on those props, I think it's going to be in the leveraged high impact plays. So touchdowns for the most part, I see an elevated opportunity for touchdowns to go their way, but I don't see elevated production necessarily in, rushes, receptions, that type of involvement.
Rocky, do you believe in the revenge games as a narrative for players?
Not too much. I mean, I think that it's mostly anecdotal, and I think you can see as much going in the positive way than as the opposite way. Like, I don't think there's anything really to it. Do I expect? We have the double Aaron Rodgers
double revenge game.
Revenge game. I don't expect either quarterback to do very well in that game, regardless of which the team they're playing, just because of, you know, who they are and their situations and all that. So yeah. I don't put too much stock into it now.
You know, I'll kind of say it's like the high school narrative. It's the coaches aren't going to impact it. I don't think the coaches are there doing a job, and they're just trying to get home at the end of the day in one piece. I think if the quarterback has a chance to throw the ball to one guy or the other, right? If he can dial up his guy and it makes sense, and it has to make sense, it's not well out of the way. Sure. The, hey, you know, can so-and-so rush one in this time? It's 2 inches. Okay, maybe, right?
That's what I was going to say. I thought you might have mentioned something like that when I was coming in. Like, yeah, maybe I can see that if it's a running back and, like, you can give it to them at the goal line over another running back or something like that. But other than that, I feel like there's too much going on a passing play for it to matter for, like, a wide receiver. Like, they have to get open. The quarterback's to find them. The offensive line is to protect. Like, there's just so much going on a pass play where I don't think it's going to matter.
Yeah, football's hard. It's really hard. And doing like, hey, we're so good at this that we're just going to like give him the ball more because we chose to. And that's how the football works. I look at all the teams that think they're really good and then aren't. They can't even get like football right. My background should tell you everything you need to know about dysfunctional teams. I've been there.
Yeah. I'll burn through a couple quick ones just because ones that I thought were fun. Obviously, the double revenge game in week one. Week two, Ben Johnson returns to Detroit. And the Chiefs play the Eagles again. So Mahomes will be ready for that.
I'm not worried.
Week three. Week three is not even a revenge game. I just thought of this. It's Vikings versus Bengals. If you think Jefferson and Chase aren't keeping track against each other in that game, like you just don't know who they are. Diggs returns to Buffalo in week five. Rodgers hosts the Packers in week eight, and he goes to Chicago in week 12. So those will matter. There's a lot of revenge games for Rodgers, and let's just get into it. Rodgers, 1 year deal with the Steelers, up to like $20 million with incentives.
Oh, wait, you didn't mention the one game where it could matter, too, is that the Eagles-Packers game, there'll be 25 tush bushes.
Yes, correct. Jalen Hurts will have five rushing touchdowns.
The Packers are the one that proposed the ban.
They'll have five rushing touchdowns. Kendall, what do you think of Rodgers to the Steelers? We've kind of been projecting this for like 2 months now, but it's finally official. What does this do for Rodgers? What does this do for DK? What does this do for insert Steelers running back?
I think it does a decent amount for DK. I've been, you know, hey, calm down a little bit. But Rodgers does a few things still very well. He's always kept his body in pretty good shape despite the injuries. He's always just kind of an athlete. And I think he still isn't losing. What you see from a lot of veteran quarterbacks, you know, Joe Flacco can still throw a pretty ball with some intellect behind it, some NFL veteran IQ, and DK being a physical specimen, I think Rodgers is going to be able to, you know, figure out a way how to, whatever he does well, I think he'll figure it out to a decent level because he's seen a lot of different wide receivers. Does he have the production to do it on every play like Mahomes? No, but I think he'll get a lot more out of DK than DK would have otherwise in a lot of other systems. Yeah. So I do think it's a plus for him, and I think it's underrated the coach quarterback, I think, is actually a pretty decent combo. Doesn't have to be. I mean, Rodgers can rub literally any human being the wrong way. But Tomlin spent a long time dealing with problem players and keeping it so quiet that he's able to trade them for kind of value before they fully blow up. So he's very adept at that. I think they'll see together eye to eye as just journeymen. You guys have been doing it for a long time. So I think it's generally pretty positive. It's a stabilizing move for the team. It's a slight fantasy boon for the team that had a pretty bad offense. I'm just not overreacting to the upside. Slightly positive for me.
Yeah, I'd mostly agree with that. I mean, I still think even at this point in his career, Aaron Rodgers is an upgrade over Mason Rudolph. Not as much as he once was, but and we saw last year, you know, Garrett Wilson, he was able to get him 149 mm-hmm. targets, 97 catches. I think he can do something like that with DK. And I mean, obviously they're different players, but I feel like DK can have that solid wide receiver two production that you're basically expecting out of him anyway. Mm-hmm. So I don't know that it's Like, I'm not super excited about the Pittsburgh offense just because Aaron Rodgers signed there, but it's better than Mason Rudolph, basically.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. I was going to say one more little quick thing. I think Warren is going a little bit under the radar for me, as I think Rodgers has been one who typically with Aaron Jones was always very happy to dump it off. Before Breece was starting to be a little inefficient, the start of couple of those seasons I was seeing decent amount of volume to Breece. I do think that Jaylen Warren is going to be slightly undervalued with the amount of targets that he might get from Rodgers. So he's kind of moved up my boards a little bit in that aspect as well.
Yeah. I haven't moved Warren up my boards. I think he's just hasn't moved down since all of this has happened
there,
because I think his role is going to be kind of the same. I agree with you in that Aaron Jones role. Aaron Rodgers himself is a super flex QB. He's nothing more than that. And I think you'd be much happier if DK is your wide receiver three as opposed to your wide receiver two, but I can see the upside. So week one should be very interesting, especially if TJ Watt for some reason isn't out there. But Rocky doesn't believe in camp talk, so we're going to skip that. moving on to Nick Chubb. This sucks. Nick Chubb to the Texans for 1 year, up to $5 million. And the stat I heard today, Mixon had the fourth most opportunities when healthy last year. Kendall, what do we do? Is this just a crap situation now where we don't like either one?
I'm starting to not fully buy in, but I've permanently moved Mixon's upside just to, I think he's actually kind of hurt. I think his body is not recovering the way it used to. It's not the severity of injury. It's the recovery mechanism that he has left in his very aging body. Mm-hmm. And not someone I think that takes the offseason nearly as seriously. We've seen off the field issues from him before. Yep. If you have off the field issues, I don't think you're probably also taking as much care of yourself as you probably should. So I think that's
wink, wink. Stephon Diggs, everybody. Stephon Diggs. Wink, wink.
I mean, I could be guilty of that right now today, right? You know what I mean? I know what it's like to be 30 plus, you know, and he's not there yet, but I get it. So that's kind of my take, is I actually do think that Mixon's just going to lose half a step is enough. Chubb's good enough that I think they're going to vulture the crap out of each other. It's probably a decent NFL move for the team, and Chubb's just a great locker room guy. He'll say four words all season if we're lucky, and I think that'll be a good example, but I do think it does hurt Mixon a decent amount, knowing the team, if they're worried about him recovering, could put him in sort of a load management schedule just to keep him around for the playoffs, where I do think they'll elevate his touches.
Yes. Rocky?
Yeah, I mean, it's not great. I don't think it's as especially as bad as you think, Frank. You were just like RIP Joe Mixon in the group chat when we don't know what Nick Chubb is at this point. He didn't do much, you know, when he played last year. So he could be like a six carry a game guy for all we know.
For two touchdowns.
Which, I mean, that's six carries away from Joe Mixon, true enough, but somebody's probably taking those carries. Joe Mixon didn't carry the ball every single time last year.
Yeah.
So I think I'm maybe a little less down than both of you on Mixon just off this news. I'm not sure what Nick Chubb has left. You know, he's aging. He said one recent really bad knee injury, one other really bad knee injury. So I'm not sure how much he has left in the tank. And I'm not like dying to go out and get either of them at this point, but I am not. If I already have Joe Mixon, I don't feel like I'm as at least worried as you are, Frank.
Yeah, I'm not panic selling him for a third, but like I sold Mixon for 2 seconds like a couple of weeks ago, and I'm pretty psyched about that right about now. So I agree with you, Rocky, where Chubb's not going to run for 200 yards a game anymore, but he could. Mixon had this really bad habit of looking around for a hole, and he would kind of dance in the backfield, especially around the goal line. Chubb ain't going to do that. Chubb's going to run directly up the middle and get probably a lot of valuable carries, which would scare me.
The Jordan Howard thing from a couple years back, where that was five carries for two touchdowns every game.
It's going to look a lot like that, in my opinion. And maybe Mixon's going to catch 50 balls and that's how he's going to be great. But from, you know, the camp talk that Rocky doesn't like talking about is Woody Mark. They like Woody Marks, apparently, as someone who's catching balls out of the backfield. So, and obviously they have three or four receivers to keep happy. So I just don't see the workload where it comes from, especially considering, like I said last year, he was the fourth most opportunities and he was an RB2 with it. So,
well, yeah, and if Woody Marks is legitimately involved a decent amount, that worries me more. Like,
yes,
but again, I'll believe that when I see it. Like,
right,
it is camp talk. Like you said,
yeah, no, I know. But Daria Gumbawale came out of nowhere last year and caught like 60 balls. So if Woody Marks is just going to take that role, like that's fine. But yeah, I don't know.
Houston's kind of a what do you do with the whole team, right? You could ask questions about like every position. Literally. The O-line's rebuilt. I know teams that have been rebuilding it for years and the cohesivity doesn't quite get there too. So there's factors that could be outside of Mixon's control. I don't hate him. He's one of those, for me, it's like an upside thing. It limits his upside. I don't think it, it's not a downside thing. It's not like, oh, this could be a bad season for Mixon. It's like, okay, it could be a little bit worse than I want. And so depending on what format it is, that changes it, right? Like for best ball, I think that's where it kills it because I just don't think he has a crazy high-end range of outcome. Yep. But I still like him for what will probably be depressed value, right? In the dead zone. I don't mind. He's been a great dead zone pick for how many years running? He probably will remain outperforming his ADP to some extent.
Yeah, that's a good point. I was just looking at trade out scoring. He was RB6 in points per game last year. That's not going to happen this year.
But he was out for half the year. Like, I understand it's per game, but he was out for half the year.
He missed three games.
No way. It was way more than that.
That's really what I'm saying. There's only three blank slots here on the scoring sheet. So
that feels like more than that. But that's
and a bye. So I guess you know, 4 weeks he didn't play. But
would you rather have Mixon or ETN?
I'd rather format.
Trade X scoring 12 team Superflex PPR 10 in premium.
I'm still taking Mixon for the production. Yeah.
Mixon or Kamara in a dog shit offense.
Kamara.
Yeah, I feel like he's going to get a lot of dump offs in that dog shit offense. So.
Okay, I can't think of any other names. Oh, Mixon or Swift, assuming the Bears don't trade it for anyone.
And Ben Johnson, I trust. I'm going to say Swift here because Swift does give me legitimate upside, I think. I hope. That's close. That's closer than I think. That one feels like I should say Mixon, but somehow I just said Swift. I got to think about that one, actually.
Yeah, that one's tough. I think I still say Mixon just because I don't trust Swift, but it's tough. It is tough.
I'm just now realizing I didn't put him on there. So Mixon or J.K. Dobbins?
Mixon.
My heart wants to say J.K. Dobbins.
Mine too.
But my head says Mixon.
Okay. Let's get to J.K. Dobbins since I just put him on the show sheet 5 seconds ago. J.K. Dobbins to the Broncos, around $5 million. Yuck. Yuck, Kendall. There's five running backs now, and all of them have done at least one thing with the Broncos in the last year.
Well, depends on your definition of an NFL running back, I suppose, right? Now, Notre Dame is about 10 minutes away from me. I love me some Notre Dame. They're a client, so I will never say a bad word about them, but I didn't.
I'll do it for you.
Never believed in Estime. Anyone close to the team tells you he is a wonderful human being. Just never. I didn't think he'd make the NFL straight up, to be honest with you. So I don't. I see him as limited usage, too. He is a blunt instrument. That's not good enough being blunt instrument. I think he's pretty much entirely replaceable. And any talk that the coach did, I think is mostly replaceable. I think McLaughlin's actually still okay. I really think this is just JK replaces all of the meh on the team and it forces them to be better than Dobbins. You want to be in the NFL, be better than this guy who's almost out of the NFL. And you're honestly probably not.
So your RB1 in Denver is who? Before Rocky goes,
I am massively on RJ Harvey. I could not possibly be higher on RJ Harvey. Dynasty, be careful. He's like 50, right? The second contract for him is going to be pretty dicey. But I think what he's going to be able to do in a good offense with a very high IQ quarterback that is perfectly as a rushing quarterback, he'll still dump it off all the time. Javonte led the team in targets or something crazy. I think that's going to continue, and he's going to be Kamara you know, to a different degree, right? Not the same explosivity as Achane has, but will probably be utilized in the passing game in a very similar way as Achane was used in Miami. And I think that's going to vault him up the boards quite a bit. I'll sell while he's hyped up, though, is the caveat.
Rocky?
I'm not as... I don't really care about the other guys. It's RJ Harvey, but I'm not as big on RJ Harvey as Kendall is, and as a lot of people are. Nobody was there. Remember, nobody talks about him that way now, but no one was expecting him to get drafted when the Broncos drafted him, which doesn't mean he's a bad running back or anything, but it was a surprise. And one of these guys on the roster has legit done real work in the NFL, and that's J.K. Dobbins. So do I think J.K. Dobbins is going to be an RB1? No. But I don't think RJ Harvey is either. I think we're underestimating Dobbins here. And they did pay him $5 million. So that tells me, and I don't know how much is guaranteed. I would assume it's enough that he's not going to be cut or anything before the season starts.
I think it's usually pretty substantial on the guarantee. I think half of it is 2.5 of the five is with some incentives to get him up.
So I think I don't know that he's going to be, I don't know that there's going to be anyone you can say is clearly the RB1, but I think there's a real chance that Dobbins is more productive than Harvey this year.
Actually, I like that take. I see J.K. Dobbins as a slightly worse, only because of the recovery and stuff, Montgomery. I see him as the early down back that's capable of every down, except they'll be balanced. I really do see Harvey more as, when I say third down back, I mean, what you call Kamara a third down back, that's an insult, but where does he score his fantasy points, right? I see him I see Harvey like early season Gibbs, where his touches were very low, but they were high impact, and the high impactfulness is what carried his PPG to a level that Monty owners didn't care about. And that's why I think there's a legitimate standalone value for JK. I had him in Dynasty everywhere. I didn't sell him because I really thought this would happen. I thought it was going to be Chicago or here, where he could sort of be the slightly more power trusted back to a different scat back that just needs to take a step back. Sorry, Swift. You know,
I just want to say, like, his issue has always been health. He's produced pretty much every time, like, he's on the field. Like, he produced with the Baltimore, he produced with the Chargers, and I expect he'll produce here. Like you said, it's just our J.K. Harvey taking away the passing work, that could be an issue. So, I mean, I don't expect an RB1 here, but I think he definitely will have flex value.
First off, Tony saying Dobbins is 15 months older than RJ Harvey is a crazy stat, and I love it.
That's wild.
Second off, I have a big, stupid grin on my face right now because Chicago, there's no one else. There's no one else out there. You have to go get Ken Walker now. There's no one else left.
Kendall Frank has been on the Ken Walker to the Bears for like 2 months now.
So. Yeah, no, you have to go get him now.
You guys think there's something to like the Ben Johnson, like I can fix anything, man. I can fix him. Swift, yes. you want to be a legacy in the NFL. If you can make,
Swift, he had Swift.
That's true.
Yeah, that's fair. That is fair.
That's why everyone says he's going to go get someone, because he had Swift and he knew what he had and he didn't like it.
And then the seventh rounder, Pacheco's making seventh rounders look pretty good. So we'll see how our
they like Manungai. That one video aside, apparently Ben Johnson was talking him up. So, again, camp talk doesn't matter. The comp, by the way, for Dobbins and Harvey, if you want to sell yourself on, is Ingram and Kamara, who were both top 20 wide or running backs like 2 years in a row.
Under Peyton.
17, 18. Yep.
Mm-hmm.
So that would be my comp for it. All right, let's get to the kind of sad stuff. And there's a bunch of questions on this too. Anthony Richardson's dealing with a shoulder injury, and he's talking to the doctor whose name I already forgot. He's like the guy you don't want to be talking to get second opinions. And they said he's not ready for mini camp, but he will be ready for training camp. But Daniel Jones is in the driver's seat right now. So Kendall, what do you think of that? And then I'll get to Dynastud's first of nine questions. Dynastud, I love you. Don't ever change. With Richardson's status in doubt, what are you doing with Danny Dimes, and how much do you think this helps Josh Downs' 2025 prospects, if at all? So, Kendall, do the Colts.
Woo! Hey, our neighbors over here. You know, I mean, we got to get the Colts in the NFC North one of these days too. By the way, what are we doing? Like,
I know
they're right there. I mean, we got to redo this thing. Out. Yeah, they can be their own thing. They can own their own division. All the fans can own their own division. They think it's so cool. So here, A. Rich. Okay, let's just run it down. Dynasty, he's a hold for me. He's 23 years old. Gino, I think, was out of the league for like a decade and then came back, and now he's a thing. I'm just saying he might take a long time to be mediocre. But the fact that these athletic rushing quarterbacks they're being drafted where they're being drafted. There's just enough, and there's enough terrible quarterbacks out there that I think he has a chance to be relevant at some point, but you might have to wait years potentially. And I'm not selling for pennies when the upside is going to stay extremely high until he's 26, 27. So I'm just going to give it time in Dynasty. I think he needs all the time in the world to develop. So I honestly hope the injury was fake, man. I hope it was. I thought that'd be the coolest thing for the team to do. Hey, let's give him another 6 months to get better.
There was a small part of me that thought that was the case until he saw this doctor.
Yeah, same take on my end there too. So for his NFL future, I think it's fine. Just giving him more time to figure stuff out. The lingeringness of that injury is really nasty. That's why I think the season's kind of over. But Danny has had a lot of chances. I think there's an underrated pass catching room in Indy. I think it's always been a quarterback issue, not a pass catcher issue. Pittman,
he's the one underrating them.
No, that's partially my take too. Is that it's been a quarterback issue? But yes.
Well, like for production wise, with JT in the backfield, right? And in previous years, the age goes backwards, right? So this has been a young, JT plus quarterback issues. You didn't want to draft their wide receivers, but you wouldn't say they were bad NFL wide receivers, right? Downs was talked up in the combine quite a bit. Pittman, we all got spicy on Pittman and liked his potential outcome until the Colts became the Colts. So I think it helps. Doesn't help a ton. Danny's just not good enough at distributing in general. I think it's still going to run through JT. It helps him a little bit because I think the accuracy in the short yardage clearly gets a dramatic bump. So I think Downs is going to eat quite a bit more there. I was already high in Downs, though, so I don't like that. I wanted him to be depressed a little bit. So holding Richardson, I think it's a dead season for him. I think there could be the narrative he gets healthy, Danny runs it out, but it's not good enough. They have to make the switch. He's got to be good enough for that to happen. That's probably a likely outcome for me. And if the switch never happens, we'll just see what happens in the offseason. I'm not going to make any takes. There's too many things that could happen. I'm generally a little bit optimistic on the pass catchers. I'm a little bit optimistic on Taylor. I think the team stinks, the narrative stinks. So I think we're depressing the fantasy output because their defense is god awful. So they could be like a worse version of the Bengals. I don't think their defense is fantastic. People really put some points on them from time to time, and they're gonna have to put some points back. And Danny Dimes is not bad in a fourth quarter comeback every now and again. I want to draft him a lot in best ball, Danny. I think he's got some sneaky upside. He rushes too. So yeah, I don't want to draft any of them, but Downs personally, I think you have to hold every player. I'm not selling Danny, and I'm not selling A. Rich. The narrative's too ugly on all sides.
Kendall said a lot there, a lot of which I agree with. So I'm just going to say, yes, Anthony Richardson is basically perennially a hold. Perennially a hold because he's until he actually does something, the upside, like Kendall said, is too high. And I kind of, it says he's going to be ready for training camp. So it's not really that much of a news thing anyway, but if Daniel Jones was to start, and I think Daniel Jones could start anyway, like regardless of injury, but I think that's better for the wide receivers. And like we saw it last year when A. Rich played and when Flacco played, the receivers generally did better. So, and I think Downs particularly, I had Downs on a couple teams. I think he particularly seemed to do better just with competent quarterbacking. Like Flacco is not a star at this point. Was he ever a star? Well, of course he was elite. I'm sorry. but yeah, so just competent quarterbacking and Steichen is a decent offensive mind there too. So, and I think Daniel Jones is competent. So
yes.
I think that if he starts that I actually like the receivers more.
I have a few points. I think this means Daniel Jones is starting week one. I think he's going to get enough of a head start where Richardson's not going to be able to catch him unless he does something just ridiculous in training camp, which I don't think he's going to do. I agree with Tony in the chat saying Riley Leonard will start games this year. I agree with that. I think he's starting at least one. And I forget the third one. So moving on to, I'm going to just burn through the last couple ones of these. Rashad Bateman, 3-year extension. I think that's interesting. He clearly got involved last year. Flowers is still number one, but watch it. I think Bateman's an easy buy. Terry McLaurin skipping camp for a deal. He's one of a lot of people that are doing that. A lot of people skip camp for deals. James Cook showed up, though. That I thought that was a good thing. Amon-Ra had knee surgery in the offseason, but he said he'll be ready for camp. Deepak Jonah, who's brought up on this show a few times, he's a good kind of Twitter doctor. Data suggests he'll be fully ready for week one. And then Bengals released their leading tackler from last year. Good God, this defense is going to be bad, especially if Hendrickson is gone. So, Kendall, would you like to move on to the trade X trades or the listener questions?
Oh, whatever you want to do. I'll never say no to some trades.
All right, we'll start with trades. Trade X leagues are 12-team Superflex PPR tight end premium with 1.75 per tight end reception and 0.05 per return yard in all leagues except TA1 because they'll never break. They'll always hold. And we don't have any TA1 trades, so we'll move on to TA3, where we have Jalen Milroe for a 2026 second, third, and fourth. Why? Kendall, what do you think of this?
I liked Milroe. He's a guy that, you know, between the upside of the tight ends that would go around him, you know, Arroyo and a couple in Ferguson, you would usually kind of go around him in a lot of my drafts. I think the price is a little bit pricey. I happen to like my draft picks. I think if you use them, play them, or trade them in the right windows, you can hit on some nice value. And you were able to draft Jalen Milroe in the third. So you're paying quite the post-draft price to get him. I think you probably could have gotten him and moved up cheaper in the draft. Yeah. I'm not really a fan. I just always think 2026 doesn't have, like, it's not a legendary draft class. But still, when you're facing down the second, there will be a player that you like. This class wasn't supposed to have wide receivers. We all got steamed up by the early second round block of them, right? That'll happen every year, and there will be a Jalen Milroe of 2026 or at a different position. So I'm taking the picks and just trusting the process that it's a little bit pricey.
Yeah, I'm with him. I'm with Kendall. This is pretty easy for me. At best, he was going late second. And am I giving up it basically just forgetting what Milroe is as a player? Am I giving up 26 second, third, and fourth for a late 25 second? No, I'm not. So.
Nope.
And nothing's happened since the rookie draft to change my opinion on Jalen Milroe or the value of a late second. So, yeah, I would just rather have the picks.
Maybe someone saw him in like a lime green jersey and he said it looks really good. So he spent 26 seconds on it. No, I think everything I've read on the 26 draft that I'm already reading box on is it's going to be top heavy. It's going to be very similar to Caleb draft was 24, right? So that draft where it's going to be a bunch of guys at the top, with Arch and Aller, and who knows what comes after that. The big one's in 27. But, yeah, I'm not trading all this for Milroe. I think he's going to start games this year. I've pivoted off of that from like a month ago, but I don't think he's worth this yet. This trade made me laugh. Moving on, we have J.J. McCarthy in a 26 fourth for Darnold, a 26 first, and a 26 second. We have the Vikings QB switcheroo. So
You couldn't make this deal without that fourth, too.
No.
Yeah, that's the first thing when I read this, to see what the guy looked at. Like, how many back and forths were had on that fourth?
Kendall, this is what we were talking about before. It's just like people argue over this one little fourth.
Hey, I'll be the first to say, though, if you throw me a trade and I think this is as fair as it gets, yeah, I'm probably throwing that fourth on there because I love my dart throws. And if you're going to spend as much time as I do scout, I spend more time scouting the third and fourth late rounds than I do the first cup. I really do. It's just more fun for me. Yeah, I want a few dart throws, so more power to him. I get it. I'm taking Darnold in the picks, though, strictly because I just bought Purdy everywhere for a first and a second. He was leading my buy low, buy in general, buy for whatever I could get board. I like Purdy. I like the team. And I'm basic, so I can get Purdy for a first and a second in most, or at least I could at some points, and you can get decent quarterbacks. I'm paying that for an unproven has some rushing upside, but who knows? Love Kevin O'Connell, love the weapons, but I was all in on why are we doing JJM over Drake May in the trust the process. I was a Drake May guy. So I don't love McCarthy. I do love a first and a second, and I always will. So I think it's a little bit pricey for me. I'm not going to give you a pro Sam Darnold take, but I like the picks.
I agree.
I am with Kendall. We talked about, you know, how neither of us is big J.J. McCarthy guy punny on this pod. And the only thing that I do really like about him at all is his weapons and his coaching. But that's not enough for me to pay this price for that. So I'm not really that interested in buying J.J. McCarthy to begin with. But if I had J.J. McCarthy, I would absolutely, quote unquote, tear down to Sam Darnold and those picks like that. I don't like Sam Darnold at all either, but give me the first and the second. And like you said, you're getting Purdy for a first and a second. And you're getting a startable quarterback on top of that for a lesser quarterback in JJ McCarthy. Yeah. That's a no brainer to me.
Yeah. You got to take out that second for me. And then I think we have a base trade that I can start to creep to. But even if you take out that second, that's when I start looking at, okay, where's the first projected? Let's go into those projectables a little bit, but I think that's a closer to even base trade.
Yep, agreed. And you can trade Darnold for another second if you wanted to, if you don't want him. Moving on to TA4, we have Khalil Shakir in a 26 third for Quentin Johnston, Marvin Mims, and a 26 second. We had a lot of weird trades this week.
There's some big ones too, though.
Yeah, I know. We're getting to the big ones. Kendall, what do you think of this?
Overall, I love it. I want to trade with people that do deals like this because no one's smashing the other guy. It's a total I don't know. I kind of want to throw some bets here. Well, I kind of want to throw some bets there. It's a beautiful deal just in general. I want to be in leagues where these type of trades goes down. First and foremost, well played to the guys that got it done. I think they're both happy with their bets for sure. And a reasonable opportunity cost. I'm going to take, I hate QJ so much. I really do. But I'm going to take the QJ Mims in second strictly because I think I can flip QJ and Mims. Not for much. I mean, I'll sell them for 90% face value. But the accumulation of whatever I can get, you know, a second, third swap, third, whatever. I think I'll take the total haul of convert those guys to picks plus the second. And I want to spin that into something. I think Shakir is really a limited ceiling. I don't see a bigger breakout than what he had last year. And I want something more exciting on my team to be put me into an over the top window. And I think that second half at least has the chance to turn into a pile that can turn into a better pile.
I'm going to be real quick. Just give me the better pick. All these guys to me are kind of I'll take a shot on that. Khalil Shakir is probably the best player in the deal, maybe. And I don't really trust production from Khalil Shakir either. So give me the best pick.
Yeah, I mean, don't you think the Bills offense could kind of be like the Packers, but honestly worse, where we like the individual talents. I don't hate Josh Palmer. I don't hate Khalil Shakir. Who else ended up there?
I was looking that up because I forgot to.
I feel like it was old Browns, not Tillman. We're all thinking of the same person, right? That we know who we're talking about. I like a lot of the talent that's there. I just think they're all going to have 600 yards. And so it's just not going to be
Elijah Moore.
Fun. There you go. So for those reasons, Khalil Shakir is kind of a loser in my book, unfortunately.
I still trust Shakir until proven otherwise. I think he's got the most trust from Josh Allen in this offense. All these
top three in the NFL in catch rate, I think.
Yeah, no, there's always been room for a receiver who has 900 yards and 7 touchdowns on the Bills. Cole Beasley did it for a long time. Shakir's doing it now. I think there's going to be a place in the offense for him. So
for the sake of the Bills and someone beating Mahomes, I hope all those receivers hit personally. Right. I just want the Bills to be good.
They're just going to need to. Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Let's do the little trade before we get to the big trades. Jonathan Brooks for Jarquez Hunter.
It's It's too much fun to go with Jarquez Hunter, so I'm going to do that. I'm so upset with Jonathan Brooks. The fact that I drafted him in two leagues upsets me as a human being. I'm so upset with my own lack of sobriety at the time, perhaps. I hope to God that is an excuse that I can think of. But I'm going to go Hunter in a two-year window. Hunter is better than Quorum. I was never a big Quorum guy. I do think Kyren gets an extension. I just hope he doesn't. But I think long-term, Hunter could really push for a better role in a team that I like. And Brooks has just 16 million questions in 2 years to get there. And I think by the end of 2 years, Hunter's probably a better play than Brooks at that point. So give me Hunter. I would have preferred a fourth to go with it, or just for some spice, right? Just because we're talking about fours. But I'll take Hunter so I can sleep at night.
I'm on the opposite side. I would rather have the Brooks side, just because to me he was the better prospect coming out of college. I know two major injuries back to back is not good. I don't expect either to ever really be super relevant. But I'll take the risk that Brooks has. To me, Brooks has the higher upside. Like if he can get back healthy and become the lead back there, I feel like he's got a better upside than Jarquez Hunter does.
Yeah, I'll throw a caveat. If your league has an IR spot, it's easily Brooks because he's not a roster clogger. Oh my God, it's clearly already talking about. Give me the fourth, give me the third, give me the picks. I run into roster space issues because I want to draft every third in the league. And I do need that IR spot for Brooks, like in some actual leagues where I own him. So that would be an actual consideration for me too. If you're in a league without an IR spot, I think that changes the equation a tiny bit. But the right answer is Brooks. This is a personal, like, I just can't anymore with him physically.
I get you.
Yeah, this was me. I'll keep it quick. First, hashtag for the content. Second, I don't think Kyren gets extended. I think the Rams have proven otherwise over the years. And I'm kind of with Kendall that we could look up in Hunter's the better running back in 2 years. So that's why I did it. Okay. Garrett Wilson for 226 seconds. Or first. Wow. 226 firsts. Now we're getting spicy, Kendall.
No, we are spicy. I am a Garrett Wilson truther. And I think I could co-chair that committee. I am there on him. The first question I have immediately is, we're talking 226 first. I need to see rosters right now. I want to tell you
seconds. They're likely mid to late. One of them's Mayan, so that one's definitely late.
So mid to late, and they're getting a free zero cost Garrett Wilson added to that team. If they were mid, they're getting later, right? So late pushing later, it's easily Garrett Wilson for me, and it's not particularly close. I think Garrett Wilson is my single, I can't say buy low because people that own him are so buried that they just won't. Even if they admit that like his face value is here, they're selling at where his peak value was and they'll never get off of it. So I don't think he's tradable as much as I want him to be. But I think he is a top five NFL talent wide receiver, possibly higher than that. I just really think he's that good of an NFL wide receiver in that bad of a position. He's like DJ Moore on steroids that took steroids. When he finally had an opportunity, he was fantastic. And then he still never really got the opportunity. He was the quietest top 10 wide receiver in possible league history last year. He was fantastic. He was still okay, even when Devontae came into all that hurt. But there was a window there of one or two games earlier in the season where you were seeing it. 12 targets, 10 catches, just elite level stuff. Like Amon-Ra on a good day stuff. So for all those reasons, it is very hard to find that in the draft. I think all those that drafted Tet McMillan are going to look back and be like, Tet's nice. He is nowhere near Garrett Wilson in terms of talent. And you're going to see that play out.
Yeah,
I'm going the other way again. So I actually would take the 226 first, just because I don't like to. First of all, he was top 10 in total points. He was wide receiver 20 in points per game. So I will mention that, at least in regular PPR scoring, which is what Trade Addicts is.
Yeah.
So I just don't have any faith that the Jets are ever going to get it right at quarterback. And I guess he could leave. And maybe that gets, you know, it ends up better for him. Cause I do agree. I love Garrett Wilson since he was drafted. He's an amazing talent, but he just it's never fully clicked on a fantasy level, and I think that's because of the quarterbacking and because of the organization he's in. And if he can get out of there, then maybe I'm wrong and this looks great in 2 or 3 years. And also, it's not just that I think I'm going to get better talent out of the draft. I think maybe I can get something better for 2 firsts. So I just don't trust Garrett Wilson, basically. And not because of Garrett Wilson, but because of the Jets.
Let me tell you where I agree with you. I agree with you on, I think, in the hands of a relatively savvy owner, and I think that's most of our audience, you're going through trades all the time. They're definitely leveling up that game for sure. Not the players I would draft at those spots, but what you can do with 226 firsts, right? And I know Frank's a finance guy. Let's talk about liquidity here. you're super liquid with those firsts. They mm-hmm. always appreciate pretty much eternally until you use them. And if you're not in a win now window with Wilson and you're looking to set up a more correlated roster push to rearrange some assets, what you can do with those 26 firsts does, it is more than Wilson in a vacuum in many scenarios. I just don't think face value, it requires more work. If you can put the time into those yes. picks after you make them, then yes, it's a better side, but it requires, the batteries are not included in this trade.
There's my show title. I am co-chairing the Garrett Wilson committee with Kendall, and I'll take it one step further, and this might be my team this year. Garrett Wilson has the best QB he's had in his career right now on this team. So,
it's not saying much.
I know that, but that's saying something. So
he likes Fields likes a first read.
Yeah, so. He's gonna over target him like crazy. Moving on to TA9, Jalen Waddle for 126 first.
We've done this exact trade with me, so I'm just gonna let you two talk about it because I talked about this exact trade. This was me, so I'll just let you two talk about it because we talked about it a few weeks ago.
Give me the first, and I like Waddle. I think Waddle's a nice buy low. It's a bleed situation. Waddle is going to, I think, have a value bump in a 1 year window, but he's 26. I just think the bleed's going to happen, and I would rather reset that bleed with the first all day, every day. And I think, again, what you can just, I think there are better targets to flip out for the first personally that have a better 3 year window of opportunity and can make things happen. I just think it's the wrong use for the first. So give me the first and let's re-roll it to a better scenario.
Waddle for me, because I think Jonnu's getting traded, or Tyreek is. And he's going to get work, but I don't feel amazing about it.
Where's the surprising no one that listens to this. I got Waddle. It's my first. It's also going to be mid to late. I'm a contending team there.
Yeah, Waddle for me.
I want to buy Waddle, just not for the first. Just I want to find some way else to buy him. Is
see nobody? At least I get offers for like 2 seconds for Waddle, and I don't even consider those. But I'm also kind of a Waddle stan, so I don't know if those trades are actually happening elsewhere. But I haven't seen him. I haven't accepted less than a first for him, and I bought him for a first in a couple spots, which Kendall clearly doesn't like.
Well, so I had to hide Waddle. The way I went about acquiring Waddle, I just did this pretty recently. It was painful until our rookie draft actually still hasn't happened because this is an awesome league. We're still trying to get together in person to do it, and we'll wait as long as we have to.
Yeah.
And so it's like, I don't care who gets injured, what happens. We're going to do this in the flesh, which is so cool. Love those guys. I had to bury Waddle's value by doing a much bigger trade and have him being kind of a piece in it. That was my way of devaluing him. So I had to sell Achan. So basically I shipped Achan by himself, my RB1 there, and I got back Waddle, what's going to be the, I think it's the 104 this year, and then 2/3. So I looked at it as, let me flip out. I like Achan a lot, but let me go ahead and get Hendy and plus Waddle plus the thirds that are this year in a nice RB draft. So, can I go ahead and get, I'm just going to go get Jaden Blue and a couple of his other third round guys, plus Henderson. And then I kind of get Waddle as my free piece. Kind of, he's not free, but he was being valued essentially in our trade talks as like a mid second. where I think you hide his value, you can make him a mid-second when he's just not. He's clearly more than that. So I think that's the type of thing I think you do to go get him.
Rocky, are you doing that? Achan for Waddle, 104 and two-thirds? Because you like Waddle and Achan.
Yeah, I do.
I was thinking about you the moment he said that. I'm like, would Rocky do that trade?
Who were the top three picks? This pre-draft?
He got Henderson with it. So
I know for a fact Ward is going. 100% Ward will go. And so because Ward will go, I also know Hunter is 100% going. I think Tet is the one that is the odd man out.
You get Hampton, Rocky. You get Hampton and Watt.
Yeah, I want to say is I guarantee Hendy, I might get Hampton.
If I can get Hampton, I would do it, but I need to know that.
let's say you can't. Let's just say you can't because, look, it never plays out the way you're supposed to. Let's pretend they all listen to every show you guys do and I do from now until then. They all get wise, right? So I'm not getting Hampton anymore. If it's just Hendy, and this is where like I went back and forth a couple of times. Ultimately, I landed on it's fine because Waddle is going to be worth a lot more, and I'll just flip Waddle for a first, and then the value cycle continues, and that's how it will play. But I got to do a few more things first.
Yeah, whether it's Henderson or one of the other running backs, I think I would do that just because I do like Waddle so much, mm-hmm. And I don't know what he's going to do this year, but he's still. You mentioned his age, 26. I mean, that's still another 3-4 at least good years left for me. Some of which are going to be without Tyreek, which hopefully is a good thing. More targets, all that stuff. Yes. So
I have Tua as well. So it was yeah. Correlation. I'm like, yeah, let's go in on the Tua.
And yeah, I'll take Waddle on the running back for Achan plus the, I guess, extra picks thrown in there.
We'll get to two in a second, but the last trade is Ashton Jeanty, Bryce Young, and a 26 second in TA10 for Bo Nix, Marion Hampton. I know which side Rocky's choosing.
I've been staring at this one for a minute. Before my initial reaction to it was Bo Nix doesn't have to be that much better than Bryce Young. Bryce Young got more weapons. Bo Nix got running game, pass catching running game. It feels crazy to compare the two. I think the real linchpin is Bryce Nix there. If you're in on Bryce will be better and good, just I'm going to go with the Jeanty side, but it's mostly because the quarterbacks are closer to me. If you're one that says, I need to get out of the Bryce game while I can, because I think he can take another dip. The second half of last season was soft defenses. You could make that argument. If that's the argument you want to go for in your personal rankings, give me the safety of Nix Hampton, because if Bryce takes a nosedive and that's kind of zeroed out in that trade, it's a little bit rough for me. And I do think the Jeanty hype over Hampton is overblown, in my opinion. Jeanty is a supreme talent, but I'm just not 100% sold on the Raiders as an organization and their O-line, where I know Hampton is running into the organization I want to own, the running back with the O-line that I want. And so for all those reasons, it's a position of opportunity over talent 9 times out of 10 in the fantasy world. So I've just made takes for both trades, though. I think I don't want to be a cop out, but I really want to say this comes down to your personal view. And right now I'm more of a, I want to go for value at quarterback, give myself a chance to win, draft Andrews late that year. You know what I mean? Draft McBride in the third of that rookie draft. I'm going to take the Jeanty side. I also think the last little thing I'll say is Jeanty right now for me is kind of at that, like the fact that you can trade him for someone's entire roster. I might do it. I might take Jeanty just to reroll again.
This is really close to me. You're saying you know which side I was going to take. I think I'm going to take the side you think I was going to take, but it was really close to me. And I think I lean the Bo Nix and Marion Hampton side. Just because of the difference in value at the two quarterbacks to me, like people want the world for Bo Nix. At least from my experience in this off season, non-point scoring season. So, and I just think he's likely to kind of hold that value just with what they're doing there and Peyton as his coach and all that stuff. And like you said, there's an upside to Bryce, but there's also a massive downside to Bryce.
Yeah.
And I don't view the different and I haven't seen as many for the world Jeanty trades as maybe you have then, because I don't know that you're getting as much. To me, the difference in talent between the two isn't as great for me, as a lot of other people, but I'm a huge Amarian Hampton guy. Genty's great. Don't get me wrong. I'm not saying he's not. I just think Hampton's very, very good also. So, I think the difference in the quarterbacks to me and their value, and I feel like Knicks is at least steady. Like you said, there's just huge variance with Bryce Young. I feel like even if Knicks dips, he probably still won't be as bad as Bryce Young has been so far in his career. So I take that side, but I can see the argument clearly for the other one. Cause like I said, it was super close to me. I had to think about it a lot.
Yeah. In a weird way, like I think the Genty side has more chances to like if Bryce is just really good, like, oh, you could win because you get the second two, or if Genty really is Saquon or something, like there are some chances, or what if it's an even trade and that second becomes like a Jaden Higgins or something and you're feeling good about it. So there, like, I think there's more chances to win. I feel like the Knicks Hampton side is just always 24/7 going to be really solid.
Yeah.
If I'm in,
I think there's
a win now window, I'm taking that side because I'm not risking this season.
The other side sucks too, because like you said, Young could be bad. And you mentioned this when you started talking about the trade, that Genty on the Raiders, like maybe he's not as good just because he's on the Raiders as we're all, you know, expecting him to be. And that offense isn't as good, and Geno isn't, you know, all that good and all that stuff. So, I mean, I think long-term he should be fine, but I just feel like that other side is super high variance. You're right, and there's way more upside, but there's also a lot more downside.
Yeah, winning window, give me the Knicks Hampton side. Like, I'm not going to lose my league because I bought Bryce Young this year. Like, I will never mentally recover from a deal like that, right? So, like, I think you're going to sleep fine knowing Knicks and Hampton are just gangsters with good coaches and they're going to be fine. Honestly, I think Hampton is probably my most underrated, like he's a redraft guy for me. Like everyone's like, oh, he's a committee back. He's a dynasty play. He is so much better than Najee, like so much better. It's not close. He's just going to dominate that. I think he's going to be the guy from like the second half of the first game, and he will run away with it literally. And it will just not be close. And Najee will be patting him on the back a lot.
Yeah. I think I'm the Bryce and Genty side, but it's super close just because I think Knicks is going to regress a little bit. And I think regression is enough to put him close enough to Bryce where I think the gap in Genty to Hampton matters. And I think I'll take the Genty over Hampton side. So, moving on to the listener questions, we have Jonathan Smith, who we already kind of answered his question, but at DFF underscore S Jonathan 02, he said his favorite sitcom is Friends. Kendall, my question this week was, what was your favorite sitcom? Because I heard this on another show and I needed inspiration on my listener question. So
I think I saw that on, I forget what show it is, but I think I've seen the same show for sure. It's a close one for me. I want to say The League because we're on a fantasy show.
Yeah.
I don't think that fully counts potentially, but it's probably Friends for me. Although I will say I didn't watch Friends, definitely not when it came out, not when people were like getting into it later on though. I watched Friends because I had my first kid and I had to do the overnight, like, you know, 2 a.m. to like the sun's coming up around, and I needed something to just kind of have on. So I ended up watching Seinfeld for the first time, and I watched Friends for the first time during that time, and fell in love with it. So yeah. Friends.
Mine is New Girl. I think it's grown in my life. My fiance and I watch it a lot. It's just very relatable. I don't know why, it just is. We'll get Rockies in a second, but his question was, are you concerned about Dobbins in Denver for RJ Harvey's value in Dynasty? I think the answer is no. I think Harvey and Dobbins can both survive. Moving on to Roman Runyon at RR Run 13. I don't get his question. Roman, if you're here, please clarify it, but because I've seen you in the chat today. But he said the next five at tight end position after Bowers, McBride, Kittle, Laporta, and Kraft.
I think he's saying like, who's your, top five are so set. And
yeah,
top five are just the top five. And like, almost,
are we sure Kraft is in the top five? Are we sure he's right there?
I don't think he's there in everyone's rankings for sure. I think more sites would have for redraft, they'd have Njoku.
Yep.
Probably. This looks more dynasty though.
Yes, sure. It is. The next five to me are Kelsey Njoku, Ingram, in no order.
I think it's a little early to put Kraft over Loveland and Warren. I'd have Warren over Kraft.
Yeah.
Better profile and profiles is the number two, where Kraft is in that, like, they'll all have 600.
Yep.
I like Kraft. I think he's a year away from the deserved bump in the rankings. They need Agreed. To get rid of Romeo Doubs, and Wicks needs to figure out what he wants to do. Once they clear that room a little bit, then put Kraft up there. Yeah. Could buy low, I think, but
trying to think if there's anyone else that I'm completely missing. I like the two rookies. Kelsey needs to stay in the top 10 until otherwise told.
I'm trying Ingram to think who's definitely worth mentioning top 10 here. Not
top five for me.
Yeah, I mean, Andrews is getting pretty dead for me. So I don't have him in my top 10 anymore. He's basically at 11 for me.
Roman, it's a big fat tier. It's not a next five. It's a big chunky tier after that.
Yeah. Or I would say there's a mini tier of guys that we actively want. Like the Loveland, Warren, like that means something. Honestly, like, for me, Dynasty, the next tier is honestly, I really do like the next tier of rookies. I like the Mason Taylor, the Arroyo. They you just have to give them a year, but I think they're going to get there. It's like you got to get to 7 or 8 that you like, but I think 8, 9, and 10 feel like a separate tier. I think that's where we're on.
Yeah. All right, let's move on to Dynasty questions. He gave us 9, I believe. At Football Dynasty, again, never change. Ari, appreciate you. We already did his first one on Richardson. So he says, will Amari Cooper and or Keenan Allen find landing spots for the season, or be the best landing spots for them to be?
Definitely. I think they both do probably before the season. I have 4 teams as their most likely spots, Eagles, Jets, 49ers, and Steelers. We know the Steelers are already looking. They were looking and passed on a couple. So I think that's a pretty obvious destination. They just want to support their new quarterback a little bit, and they would rather have one of those guys than whoever the hell Rodgers wants to call up from retirement again. Does Cobb still play? So I like that. 49ers got to extend the winning window. It's more backup for Ayuk. I think those guys might be on the pricey end, but if they can find a decent deal, I think it's a reasonable play for the 49ers. Their depth chart's fine, but if Ayuk gets re-injured, I think they're kind of forced into doing something they don't want to. The Jets have nobody else, but they might not want to go buy anybody. So I think the more likely is probably going to be the Steelers or the Eagles in a winning window. Don't really have a high-end three. They were thinking about trading Goddard. Eagles and the Steelers would lead my board for those two.
Yeah, I don't really have any no spot that came to mind other than the ones that Kendall had said. I kind of like the 49ers spot for one of them that he had mentioned. Like you said, I don't know how, you know, all the cap ramifications and all that. But yeah, there is, you know, there's definitely guys people like, you know, there's the Pearsalls and Jennings and all that, but there's not much beyond Ayuk and Kittle really that's ever done anything. So, especially if McCaffrey doesn't stay healthy. So I kind of like one of them there. But yeah, I nothing popped into my head other than the 4 spots that he mentioned.
Somebody was talking about the Cardinals as a potential spot because Michael Wilson maybe just ain't it at 2, and there's pretty dry outside of that. They went all defense in the draft. Maybe they went all defense because they were going to try to get a cheap deal there. I just don't see them in the spot where they don't think they can win right away, but I think it could take some pressure off of Marv a little bit. I don't think he'll go there, but I think it's
Jack, by the way, that you didn't put that in the news, but I don't know if anyone's seen that picture, but he looks huge. He's ready to go.
Yeah, he just needs to get a little faster. As long as
I would like Keenan or Amari. Amari obviously makes more sense, but back in Dallas, they could use one more, but I think they did their move and they're probably. Okay, who do you think is the biggest fantasy stud still to get traded or cut this offseason? My Jonnu share is praying for the Dolphins to move on from Tyreek, even though it looks like they're going to move on from Jonnu instead. There's a running back somewhere.
Kenneth Walker.
Right.
That's well, yeah, I should have said that. But just trying to think, like
ETN's mine.
ETN, yeah, it's a good one.
I don't think he's preseason though. Running backs are not a preseason thing. Running backs are let's see what our record is and make a call, right? It's like dynasty. If they're winning, I don't think any of these teams trade their running backs if everything's going swimmingly. If it starts ugly, that's where I think the ETN could move or the Walker could be in serious consideration, but not preseason.
I feel bad, Dennis, that I should have done more prep on these, but Steelers are going to get someone. I don't know who it's going to be.
Can we really see a lot of significant movement after June, mid-June?
No.
Not usually.
It's usually unfair to bring someone in at that point when the locker room has kind of started to gel a little bit. That's one of those, like, you watch Hard Knocks enough, you're like, it wouldn't make a lot of sense based on the team meetings and the call. It's a business, right? You guys know it's your business. You just don't hire people at a certain division, certain times. It just, this one of those, right? I think it's more of a, we're going to start the year and then we're going to see how the pieces.
Right. Work. I was just going to say, like, really, if you're going to see anything, it's probably going to be in season because, yeah, you'll see guys occasionally, you know, we see Amari Cooper get traded in season, things like that. But yeah, I don't think anybody's major is going to move between now and the start.
There's enough around this Johnny stuff that I think he's leaving. I don't know where he's going, but it sounds like he's missing camp and there's still trade talks with the Steelers. It sounds like Johnny's going somewhere. And whether you consider that a major move is probably dependent on his landing spot. But yeah, I don't know. I don't think... I know there's been Tyreek stuff. There was talks of the Patriots were going to cut Diggs after the whole boat fiasco, but they kind of backed off that. So I don't see any kind of major moves, but if I think of any, I'll tweet it out or something. All right. We kind of touched on this last week, so I'll let Kendall run with this one himself. But why is Brian Robinson so cheap at RB27 when he was a solid RB2 last year? And has worse, older competition for carries this year. Seems like an easy buy for a contender. He'd probably get a decent starter contract with another good season this year.
Real quick, before Kendall answers, I wanted to say this because I thought it was funny. He says, why is he at RB27? Where do you think he finished last year, points per game?
You told me. It was like RB30-something, right?
No, RB26.
Okay.
So right around RB27.
That's why.
I just thought that was funny. Yeah. And I think we were, I think when I mentioned it last time, it was that we were, I think someone was talking to you or someone else was talking
about the high end. I like him as a buy.
But I was just pointing out, I think that he's probably a little lower than I think he is in people's minds in terms of actual production last year.
Go ahead, Kendall.
So he is in, I guess I'd call it a dynasty dead zone. And it's honestly kind of like a dynasty dead zone of one. And here's why in prep for this particular question though. And this has come up in trade talks as well for me too. He fits this really weird niche of just look at like the five or six guys ahead of him in like a ECR or whatever you want to use. Right. And then look at the five or six guys below him. I can go way more than five or six though, and find at cost running backs where they're clearly cheaper, but like, their upside in like a year is right there. So let me give you some examples that kind of make the take. I'll start from the other side. So if you go up, I'm just looking at ECR because it's everyone kind of uses it to some extent, right? Right above him in ECR right now is RJ Harvey at 24, Caleb Johnson, Alvin Kamara. I mean, it's oh wait, am I even in dynasty here? I don't even think I'm in dynasty. I'd have to look there. But in my notes here, go the other way. Below him is Scataboo, Bashel Tootin, like Mason Garendo, all the rookies that I like Devin Neal, Dylan Sampson. Now, they are not going to produce right away like Brian Robinson. Absolutely not. But I think their upside at 2 to 3 years younger at cost makes a lot of sense. Like if you're asking, do I want to buy a 26-year-old running back in Dynasty? The answer is they better be a really good RB2 if I'm buying a 26-year-old running back. I'm basically Leonardo DiCaprio. Okay, as soon as you hit 25, you don't exist to me in Dynasty. That's how it is. You're not hanging out anymore. So I want to go the other way with this, right? I want to look and say, I would much rather Scadaboo is lower than him, right? I think Scadaboo could be a very similar comp back to him this year, but is technically a little bit cheaper with a lot more runway, right? DeAndre Swift is the same age as him. Yeah, you know, he's not as good, I don't think, but I think the upside for DeAndre Swift to finish as a top 15 running back is infinitely higher than Brian Robinson finishing as a top 15 running back, in my opinion. I would much rather take that bet. And if I had to take a cheaper bet, because he's going to cost you something, he's cheap, but he's still costs something, you're going to have to give up something, I would rather give up less for a different solution. If you need to plug and play an RB, I think he could be a very good solution for a win now team. If you're gonna do that, I have to trade a second to go get someone. Do you even get him for a second though? You know, that's my question. I mean, if you're the Robinson owner, don't you want more than a second?
Yes.
You're planning on playing him, you're planning on using him. So for the cost, I want to go young with upside and try to get above him, or I don't want to pay the cost. And I would just rather say, he's not going to be my solution because of the price point. So I think that's why he fits this weird niche of who's buying him. The seller's not selling at face value because they need him, and you're not willing to pay up because he's a 26-year-old running back, and there's just limitations on what he's going to do next. So for those reasons, that's why he's at the cost he is, I think.
I think that's great. I think that covers a lot of it. Yeah, I don't have anything to add. All right, let's move on to his next question. He said, earlier this offseason, we joined TA2 via the dispersal. We took Laporta as the best value left on the board at some point, thinking we'd deal him. We haven't found any takers. What are you looking for, or what would you be looking for to move off of Sam Laporta in TA scoring? Yikes. He's kind of in a dead zone of his own. Oh, by the way, I was looking at teams while Kendall was going through his Brian Robbins stuff. Mark Andrews is the name for the big name that could be traded. He's been thrown around.
Oh yeah.
I like it a lot. That's if, like, you know, Kittle or someone got hurt, like, you know, I hope that never happens because I love George Kittle, but like Andrews is that guy.
Probably hurting both. The fact that Janu wants out and Andrews could be out, they're probably hurting each other because the bidding war of I'll take one of them at whoever's cheaper. Like if you're the team owners, like the team owner that's trading for a tight end, I think you're.
No,
saying,
I know.
Oh, I'm thinking could always of get like, Andrews.
Could we just see an Andrews for Janu trade? Andrews in Miami doesn't really fit. He's kind of
and the prestige value of Andrews. Yeah. I just don't think they're gonna.
Anyways, what are we trading for Sam Laporta, Rocky?
This is tough. It's funny because I'm in TA2, and it's like you said, and he actually was offering me Sam Laporta trades about a week ago. I think when I was trying to do some of my own hashtag for the content trades. And I didn't like anything he was saying to me. Yeah. Basically, he some of this kind of stuff we were talking about was Drake London for Laporta, which I didn't want to do.
No.
What else did he have? I'm trying to see what's mine and what was his. Nico Collins for Laporta and Janu, I didn't want to do. And I was offering some trades back, I think, of Lester. I think I had one with Jordan Addison in there, Jordan Addison Plus, and he didn't want to do that. I think it's hard because, like you said, his value is kind of like, especially if you look at like DLF ADP, his value is super high, and mm-hmm. he's like the tight end three. But I think everyone is worried about the production from last year. So it's hard to make a trade for him, I think. And I don't know what the let me see. I'll tell you what I was going to offer for him. I offered Jordan Addison in a second. I don't know if that's fair. I don't know if that's lowball.
Wait,
26 seconds.
I'd take Laporta, I think.
I would too.
I probably would too. That's what I was willing to
do. When you have Addison in a second, you want to condense. You're already thinking about how you can take Addison in a second and turn it into something. You'd be going backwards just to, in a month, you'd want to flip Addison problem, a second for something.
The problem is, I think if you add another second to Addison, it's the Addison side. I think it's
true. And then I also actually even was willing, when he threw the London idea out there, I offered London for Laporta and a 26 second. He shot that down.
I'd probably take London, but it's closer.
I think it's tough because tearing down is tough because it isolates the. I think if you tear down, some people will say, oh, well, the production between these guys is actually kind of close. I'm way overpaying for Laporta, mm-hmm. but that's naturally the move I want to do is to tear down several tiers plus a first or, you know, get some other things. And if you could pull it off and they wanted to get out, you know, I mean, they're. How much more do we like Laporta over Loveland Warren? If I could slightly tear down to one of those and get anything, I would rather have Loveland Warren plus a second. If I could do that, I don't think you can get that done, but if you could, I would absolutely do it. I think those guys are honestly more talented prospect profiles than Laporta a little bit. And new head coach, I don't know what's going to happen. Goff is not a quarterback I'm buying without Ben Johnson. I think that's very different. The chance that the offense regresses to a meaningful level with different play calling over the course of not just a 1 year window, what about a 2 year window? Yeah. What if Isaac Tesla in year two actually kind of pops up a little bit and all of a sudden Laporta is just not the second weapon on a declining Goff? In a 1 year window, you can say Laporta can have a nice year next year. But if you look at the future of the team, I'm just not sure they're going to solve the head coach play calling thing. It could have some legitimate downside to it. So I want to sell Laporta, but I don't think where's he going to go in rankings? If he's kind of going tight end 3-4, he can't leap anybody. It's just not possible. 1-2 are solid forever.
Yep.
You know? So I want to sell at a high. I want a tier down plus a first if I can. Even like Kraft plus a first and a second. If someone wants to value the pure production, I would smash that in a heartbeat. Would it Kraft in a first? I don't know, but it's probably close. It's starting to get close at that point, I think. I think tier down's the natural, easy to figure out value. Either that or a wide receiver. I'm thinking of rookies last year that didn't quite hit, plus some picks or something along those lines, wouldn't be terrible as well. Nothing, no one's coming to mind, essentially. But
well, it's hard to tier down and cross positions. Like, is the problem, which is what Rocky and Dynastad are trying to do. And
I don't want to not end up with a tight end is the thing, because right. Tight ends is a weird thing where anytime you buy it, you're going to overpay for it. Unless you buy a dirt cheap tight end, you outproduces. No one's just going to let a onesie and TEP go for free.
I would, but I'm weird like that.
Got trade with Frank, then you'll get it done.
Yeah, right. Seriously. All right, we'll end with this one. We'll punt. There's one he has at the end that's very like end of the bench, and I want to think more about that one. So we'll punt that one to next week. I'm going to do some on-air producing, but we'll end with this one. What are you doing with Tua? What would you buy or sell for? Also, is Miami a better version of the Sewell Chase meme? Yes, is the quick answer. He posted a bunch of stuff from Warren Sharp. It's a really long thread. I'm not reading it all. Go look at Warren Sharp on Twitter. It's a very long thread basically saying that Tua is better than everyone says he is and that we're throwing him away too fast. But what are we doing with Tua, Kendall?
I think you got to hold. I did this take on a show the other day. I still hold with his. The injury prone narrative, I almost always is a portfolio play. I think we overreact to injuries in a sport where everyone gets injured. We're just isolating who's injured today when everyone else will be injured tomorrow. Like they're going to flip flop. It's just, they're all going to be a little bit banged up because of the nature of the game. And I think the public, even savvy or not, I think they all overreact injuries. So my first inclination is, yeah, I'm going to fade the injury and I'm going to go. But concussions are not an injury. Concussions are, this is the brain we're talking about, very different. Mm-hmm. So, you know, if it's over, it's over. I still think it's one of those, he's decent when he's good and on the field. And those numbers were based on production. I don't ever want to sell somebody before they're on the field, because the only thing that's dominating the value is the narrative and the hype or lack thereof around it. And right now it's just too easily negative. Olave has not seen any meaningful bumps yet, and so I think the comparison of the narrative, they're both going to drag each other down. I'm waiting. I'm going to wait till Tua shows up, and they probably have a decent offense. Not great, but decent. And as long as Achan's there, they're probably going to be okay, I think, to be cohesive. So I can't sell. I am buying if I can, but what am I really willing to give up? Here's my problem. If I give you a good price and I say, hey, I would pay this for Tua, I could probably take the exact same resources and probably find a less risky buy. That's why it's hard to buy Tua. I think it's only in certain leagues with certain owners. I just want to get out of it. Hopefully I'm heavy at a position where I can afford a little bit of something, but I want to give away something I have an abundance of and don't have to replenish the tank. Just to give you like an archetype of what I would give up. I wouldn't give up anything that's going to slightly hurt me where I have to go then do another two deals to make up for it. In that case, I don't like it. So for me, I'm not really trading for him, and I'm holding. We got to see what happens in the first 3 weeks of the season before you can do anything if you're going to get value from it, I think.
I largely agree. I think he's more of a hold than anything. If I was going to go on either side, it would be buy. And it depends, obviously, price dependent. I mean, I think you're going to probably have to pay a first for him. From the person who has two is probably not going to come up for less than a first. I would probably pay a very late first for him. I did want to throw out there, looking at it, if you can get him for anything that's not a first, I would probably do that. That's not a first value. Even, you know, multiple seconds, a player in a second, something like a not first value player in a second or something like that. I would absolutely do that. I was just looking to, like I always like to do, he's 23rd in DLF ADP, 23. And as for much as people like to rag on Tua, even when he's playing, there's a lot of people that are not big Tua fans. QB 13 when he played last year, points per game, QB 13, at least in trade addict scoring, which is a little weird compared to some scoring. I think Rust kind of bumped up yardage a little more than yes. some leagues do or something like that. So it could be a little off depending on your scoring, but still, you know, that affects everybody. So it's not too far off. So he's better than people think. I mean, he's never going to be a top five QB fantasy wise, but he's got low end one, high end two potential every single year. And QB 23 is basically all about the concussions. And I get what Kendall's saying, and I kind of agree, but I'm willing to take the risk. And there's guys that have had concussion issues that then are defined for the rest of their career. And his concussion issues especially have been particularly scary because I think there were multiple times on national TV and really bad. Like in terms of we could physically like see him being concussed basically with the, you know, the hand thing and all that stuff. Yeah. So, but there's a very real possibility he doesn't get a concussion for the next 5 years. So we just don't know. And I'm more willing to take that risk. And if he gets a concussion and he's out for the, you know, rest of his career, then, you know, I lose out. But I think there's just as much of a chance, if not more, that it doesn't happen. And I like him as a player, and I like the cost that you're getting that. So if I was going to do anything, it would be buy. Like I said, I personally, he's another guy I've been kind of higher on his whole career than a lot of people. So I like I said, I would probably pay the very late first. And I'd be pretty sure it's going to be pretty late, but like 10 to 12 range next year.
Yes.
Like obviously, we can never be sure, but just looking at the other team's roster and assuming what you think they're going to do. So I would pay that value. But I know, you know, a lot of people wouldn't, but I think I would. But I agree. I think more than anything, he's a hold. Like Kendall said at the start of all this, that he's probably more of a hold than anything.
Here's a take on it. If you're giving him QB 23 in dynasty value, okay, when I look at the next 10 quarterbacks, not just now, but for the history of the NFL, the bottom 10 quarterbacks in the NFL could be super young and have all the stuff in the world. They could be out of the league in a year or two perpetually if it's just not there. Tua is good enough that if he's healthy, he will be a top half of the NFL quarterback perennially.
Yes.
You're saying, oh, there's a risk that he could get a concussion. Remember when Will Levis, you couldn't even trade him for a second because you're like, yeah, but he could still, you know, he could kind of be something out of the league. So who would you rather bet on? Someone who's maybe not talented enough to belong or someone who is talented enough to belong and produce but has, you know, an elevated risk that others might not, that doesn't have to happen. I'm going to take the value that he's a good NFL player. And what if he gets a concussion, not this year, but what if next year? You still got a full season out of him, which is still terrible that it's one, but that might be more valuable than just look at the guys beneath him. So I'm looking at like A. Rich, Geno Smith, Stafford, Russell Wilson, Dart for next year, Rodgers, Daniel Jones, Shadur Sanders, Tyler Shuck, Jalen Milroe. I just got down to quarterback 35. None of these guys are guaranteed for 1 to 2 years in the league straight up. And most of them we're projecting are out of the league in 1 year without perfectly healthy, still out of the league. Give me the guy that's good at this position. Is I guess my point. You've got to roll the dice anyways with quarterback. I just want to roll the dice in a game that I think we're rigging in our favor.
Yeah, and the other thing I'll just add again is with the whole concussion issue. Like I said, there's I can't think of a quarterback example off the top of my head, but there's two guys I always think of when this comes up. Is I know Brandon Cooks earlier in his career, there was tons of talk about he was one concussion away, and he's still playing. And Devontae Adams, I think people forget in his first couple of years had a couple major concussions that people were really worried about. And then it's never been an issue ever since. So like I said, it's very real. It's a very real concern, and I don't disregard it completely, but it's just, it's something I don't put as much weight on, I think, as other people do. But Frank had to cut out for a second here, so I think I might be finishing up here because I think with the last question he said we're going to hold for next week, so that is the end of our show sheet, which means that is the end of our show. So, Kendall, why don't you – oh, first of all, I want to thank you again for coming tonight. Thank you for putting up with me being late. And I also want to just give you a chance to remind everyone who you are, what you do, and where they can find what you do.
Yeah, certainly. So all my time and energy right now is focused on the Get Right Fantasy Football Network. Those guys, they were around before me. I'm a co-owner and member right now, but they gave me my first shot at joining the industry, going from hyper-competitive league crusher to let's join the community for real and try to turn the side hustle into a main hustle. So wanted to give back to that group, that organization. So I'm going to be there growing it, trying to make some fun things happen. We're really all about being total draft degenerates. They were missing a little bit of a dynasty presence. So me and Phil came on board and we're kind of the dynasty arm, but we'll draft till 1 a.m. No problem. We're just a bunch of draft nuts. So you can find me there. We've got our YouTube channel or definitely check out the Discord. I'm sure in the descriptions and stuff, my stuff will be there. But mostly YouTube, the Get Right Fantasy Network. And at some point I'll get back to do my channel once that's a thing and get back to the pure dynasty stuff. A lot of buy low, sell high, market watch stuff. And you see how long I go on my takes on these trades. That's a space I want to live in. So if you like trading, obviously you're already watching these guys. You probably like trading a lot. I'm very much the same.
Yeah. And I'll tag all of Kendall's stuff as I post the show tomorrow. But, our stuff, patreon.com/TradeXPod. You can watch us while we record. You can join our Discord chat, the Cool Kids Club. Trying to think if there's anything Fantasy Cares going on right now. They're doing the merch campaign right now. You can enter for a Switch 2. For I think it's like every purchase you make in the store, you get one entry for a Switch 2. And then obviously, it's been going around the fantasy streets this week, but Anthony Servino passed away this weekend. I have located the GoFundMe that everyone's throwing around right now, and I will put it in the show description. They're about 1,000 away from their goal, so let's see if we can finish it out. But on that sad note, rest in peace to Anthony. And as Russ Fisher always told us, if you have a trading problem, you're never alone. Good night, everybody.
Night, Frank.
Night, guys.
Thank you for listening to the Trade Addict Podcast, a member of the DLF family of podcasts and a proud member in the Dynasty Addict Podcast Network. Follow your hosts at Dynasty Haha and at Dynasty FF Addict. Please subscribe, rate, and review. We will catch you next time on the Trade Addict Podcast. Poopy Pants.
Daddy's the best.
See ya.